If you associate one word with Barack Obama's campaign, one word, chances are it's change. It appeared on posters and bumper stickers, and Obama wove it into every speech he gave. But now that the president-elect has announced his choices for about half his cabinet, many progressives in the Democratic Party who embraced Obama's message of change are disappointed. David Corn, the Washington bureau chief of Mother Jones magazine, is among them. In an opinion piece published in the Washington Post, he writes that progressives are, depending on who you ask, disappointed, irritated, or fit to be tied. David Corn joins us just a moment. But does that describe you? Why or why not? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Of course, political junkie Ken Rudin is still with us here in Studio 3A. David Corn joins us now from the studios of member station WNED in Buffalo, New York. And it's great to have you back on Talk of the Nation, David.
Good to be with you, Neil.
And isn't it a little early to open fire before the president-elect names the other half of his cabinet?
Well, I don't consider this opening fire. The piece I wrote for the Washington Post noted that there were reasons for progressives to worry about some of the early appointments, but I also said that it seemed to me that Obama has made a decision tactically or strategically to take for his cabinet people who are centrists and who have establishment credentials and try to use them to advance a policy agenda that is distinctly left of center, and it may be easier to do that these days because I do believe the political center has shifted so much that a lot of the things that progressives have been crying for in the Bush years have become kind of consensus positions.
Now, for example, it's not a question of should we withdraw troops from Iraq. It's about when to withdraw troops from Iraq.
Well, precisely. There's no big argument to be had over that. Now, by having Bob Gates, a Republican appointee, oversee that withdrawal, it may give Barack Obama some political cover. But the argument against having Bob Gates stay at the Pentagon is that of all the agencies in our wonderful town of Washington that needs reform, the Pentagon is probably top of the list. There are hundreds of billions of dollars in wasteful cost overruns coming from weapons that are questionable at best. And even conservatives have been raising questions about what's been going on at the Pentagon budget-wise for the past few years. And Bob Gates, in the last 2 years as secretary, he's a lot better than the guy before him. And he's a pragmatist and he's not ideological and is competent in many ways. But he hasn't shown a lot of willingness to take on the Pentagon when it comes to its bloated budget. Barack Obama campaigned that he would get rid of tens of billions of dollars in wasteful spending and bring change to Washington. Is Bob Gates the guy to do that? So far, the evidence is that he may not be.
Some progressives also upset with the economic choices, in particular Larry Summers, who was, of course, Secretary of the Treasury under President Clinton, where he was known as a deregulator.
Well, precisely. He's a very good example here. Well, in the Clinton years, there was a debate within the Clinton administration. Regulators wanted to regulate some of these high-flying, newfangled financial instruments like credit default swaps. And Larry Summers, along with Robert Rubin and Alan Greenspan, kind of were the three marching horses in favor of the free market. And they said no, and they really slapped down quite hard this effort at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and others to regulate these financial products, which there's no doubt about it, they helped grease the way to the subprime meltdown. So, one question you have is when someone gets something so wrong like that, why do you bring them back in? Now, there's no question that Larry Summers is a smart fellow. He seems to have had his troubles at Harvard and elsewhere. Barack Obama has said that he likes strong personalities with strong opinions and wants to have a strong debate at the White House. But that the debate at the White House, if that's going to happen, and it's going to be a strong debate, the table has to be long enough to include some progressive voices, or people at least who got it right back in the 90s on some of these issues, who can, go head-to-head or toe-to-toe with Larry Summers and try to figure out the best path forward here. And on the economic team so far, we don't see that with the exception of Jared Bernstein, who is a good economist, who's now the chief economic advisor to Joe Biden. But that's still not a position with as much clout and standing as the one that Larry Summers has been given, or, of course, the Treasury Secretary, which will be Timothy Geithner.
Ken?
David, also on the diplomatic or foreign policy front, we have Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State during the primary campaign, of course, and it's been said over and over again. Barack Obama said that unlike Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama had the judgment to oppose the war from the beginning. Now, do you feel that Hillary Clinton has come around on the war? Are you upset about that choice at all?
Well, whether I'm upset or not is, I think, immaterial. But I think it's pretty clear that not only did she vote in favor of the war, as did others in the Democratic Party, like Joe Biden and John Kerry, but she was very hawkishly in favor of the war after it started. And it seemed to me that she didn't sort of track back from that until she got closer to her presidential campaign, and it seemed as if she'd be running against Barack Obama and that their main difference would be on the war. So it was really a couple of years of being very hawkishly supportive of the war that I think is more relevant than her vote in 2002. That is, that's one problem here. I mean, I think the Hillary Clinton appointment raises other issues as well. As we've seen this all play out in the last few weeks, involving Bill Clinton and whether she can be a good, productive team player in an administration where, when we see with much of the Clinton operation, that it often it's a melodrama. There's a circus quality to it. So, again. If there were others in the room with Hillary Clinton who have demonstrated the fact that they have been right on these issues and haven't been hawkish, maybe situationally hawkish, but still haven't been hawkish in the past, and that there's a strong debate, a good debate, I think some progressives would be less concerned at this point in time.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Again, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. We're talking with David Corn, the Washington Bureau Chief for Mother Jones. And let's start with Bob, and Bob's with us from Eastern Oklahoma.
Oh, yes, thanks for the discussion. It's interesting to me. When I first made contact here, they said, so you're optimistic, and I want to clarify, I'm not optimistic, I'm hopeful. Obama has a lot of good ideas. He's a smart person. If he can convince the American people to change right here in domestic policy and things about the economy in general and on the ground, and I mean coast to coast, not just there on the East Coast and the West Coast, in between as well, then he's going to get a lot of support for his foreign policy. And I am hopeful. I don't know about optimistic. We'll see.
So you're reserving judgment, Bob.
Well, sure. We're not the judge. I think things will play out. The American farmer's disappearing. I think that's very important, and it doesn't get discussed very often here in the Midwest. We also have small patches of woods that are continuing to disappear. The natural environment is absolutely critical to our economy, and this is something that just gets swept under the rug. So we're going to have to grow back the natural world around us and learn to use it as economy.
And David Corn, let me just follow up on what Bob's been saying. Some of the key appointments in domestic policy, labor, the Secretary of the Environment, the Energy Secretary, those have yet to be named.
Yeah, labor, EPA, energy, interior. Those are yet to be named, and there are some progressives, liberals,
and
who
agriculture
are waiting to
too,
see
if
those will go that way. The interesting thing about the caller's remark is that my senses, and Ken maybe follows the polls closer than I do, is that at this point in our nation's history, there are a lot of people out there, maybe even people who didn't vote for Barack Obama, who are rooting for him. And that's because the challenges are so great, the problems seem so daunting, from the economy to Afghanistan, Iraq, education, healthcare, that I think, I remember back to when George W. Bush was elected. It didn't seem as if we had much in the way of any expectations for what he would do in office, other than there was a fight over his tax cuts, but otherwise, what was at stake?
Bob, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to say I think this presidency, this administration, really needs to tap into what the American people do best. Yes, the American people work hard, but we don't want to work stupid. We want to work smart, even on the land, and we can't just throw away the natural world and throw away you know, our children's future, for that matter.
Bob, thanks very much for that. Appreciate
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here's an email from Richard in Otigo, New York. Obama, he writes, is a corporate Democrat. Why do liberals and progressives think he can deliver on his promises for change if corporations are controlling the purse strings? What do you say about that, David?
Well, that's an interesting perspective. I mean, he did raise questions and some critical, skeptical questions about some of these free trade, so-called free trade accords like NAFTA, which would put him a little bit at odds with the corporate wing of the Democratic Party. He didn't take PAC money. He did take money from, you know, from individuals within industry. Same time, he made a lot of money for his campaign, that is, by taking small dollar donations. I think what we're, you know, what we're seeing here, you know, as he appoints people, and as he what will come next will be his initiation of some policy ideas, is the definition of this presidency. And by, you know, picking Larry Summers and Timothy Geithner, who are both close to Robert Rubin, it does show a tilt towards what people describe, whether pejoratively or not, as the corporate wing of the Democratic Party. And will he be using them for his own ends? Will he listen unduly to them? These remain open questions. And I think people now are trying to get a sense of that. But by coming forward and talking about a big stimulus plan, not, you know, going on about, say, deficits, he's also indicating that he may take a progressive route in terms of pump priming, and hopefully he'll do so with smart infrastructure investments and maybe involving energy independence and urban development. Right. So, I mean, there still are a lot of different ways this presidency can go, especially since it hasn't even started.
David Korn of Mother Jones, also, of course, with us is Ken Rudin, our political junkie. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get, this is John. John with us from Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think that the jury's out. I think it's very much in. I mean, he's packed all of his foreign and domestic and people with Wall Street scam artists, the top people who got us into this world depression, and people associated with the wars against Iraq. And in many ways, he's to the right. I've been reading globalresearch.ca, and they've documented how on issues of war and peace, he's to the right of Bush and Cheney, even on issues like bombing an incredibly nuclear power like Pakistan, to the right on Iran, to the same on against Russia. I think the real nature of this administration is, since he got more money, far more money from Wall Street and the military-industrial complex than McCain, is to be a kind of a slicker version of the Bush-Cheney administration. Now that their credibility is completely shot, I think the military-industrial Wall Street interest needed a new face to carry out these very anti-popular policies.
David Korn, I think you could put John in the fit-to-be-tied category.
I think so, even beyond that. I think the picture is more nuanced at this point than John sees it. At least that's how I see it. Just on the issue of Iran, I mean, I think Obama's position has been, you know, trying to talk more and use diplomacy more and not, you know, not wave the big stick as much as George W. Bush and Dick Cheney have wanted to do in the past few years. So, I mean, I do think, I do believe that from a policy position, you know, he does stand in sharp contrast, not across the board, but on many key issues, to Bush-Cheney. So there is change there. But, you know, it's easy to, you know, put out policy papers. It's easy to talk about this stuff. You know, the hard calls come when you get into the office. Afghanistan is this incredibly daunting task, and, you know, he's talked about putting more troops there, and, you know, there's been talk about recreating the surge in Afghanistan. There's no clear idea or guarantee that that will work. We may need a whole different sort of policy in Afghanistan, but hopefully there will be a review. And it all goes back to, like, who's in the room and who's presenting ideas that Barack Obama ultimately can choose from. And so I'm just hoping that, you know, that he listens to a wide variety, which has been the way he's done things in the past. It's easy to look at these initial appointments and to reach the conclusion that he's, you know, veering, you know, towards the center or even center right. That, you know, that may not be the full story yet. And so that's why, you know, I see a lot of progressives who are saying, rather than going out there and getting pitchforks.
Yeah, not quite yet. We're getting a lot of emails and calls on this vein from Judith in Louisville, Kentucky. It seems to me we're seeing the emergence of a new political party. It's pragmatist. The problems this nation faces transcend ideology. President-elect Obama has been called a transcendent political figure. I think it's because of his pragmatic approach. That in and of itself is change, and I, for one, welcome it. So among those who say it'll be possible, policies that matter more than necessarily these personalities that he's appointed, David.
Well, that's true. Policies do matter more than personalities. But since we don't have the policy decisions before us yet, we're, you know, all we can do is sort of extrapolate from the choices that you make. In Washington, we do say, you know, personnel is policy. And so the question is whether he's doing something a little bit different. And, you know, we talk a lot about hope these days. I think progressives have a lot of hope that, you know, he's trying to do this strategy where he drapes a center-left, you know, policy approach on most issues with maybe a center-right cabinet.
Yeah,
and the questions, you know, it's a great political science experiment. Well, we will see in the months ahead whether he gains any results from this.
David Korn, Washington editor of Mother Jones, joined us today from WNED, our member station in Buffalo, New York. He's co-author of Hubris, the Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of the Iraq War. Thanks very much for your time today.
My pleasure, Neil.
And, of course, thanks, as always, to Ken Rudin, who's going to get right back and work on his blog. It's The Political Junkie. You can read that at npr.org. A quick correction. I said Buddy Cianci was still in prison. He is out. I apologize for that, and we got some calls on that. Tomorrow, Ted Koppel and former State Department advisor Richard Haass on the situation in Pakistan and the puzzle it presents to the next president. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.